have it, say amen. A few of you have it anyways. If you have it, say amen. Do I need to stall a little bit longer, Brother Steve? Do I need to stall for you? No, okay. Get his class, all right. It's all right. And appreciate those men that filled in while I was away. I had the privilege to go to preach for Brother Erveline. My wife and I had a part of a meeting on Saturday night last week. And then I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night for Brother Pat. And he sends his best, and he's certainly a good friend of this preacher, a good friend of our church. It's exciting to see what God is doing up in northern Maine, amen, up in Brewer, Maine, and so forth. I think I stalled long enough. Romans chapter 8, and I'll go ahead and read, and then you read, and I'll start in verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Joe, I will have this on, by the way, just to let you know. I forgot to tell you. And all right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for love and goodness to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help me this morning. Help me to say exactly what you want said and cast aside anything you don't want said, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd settle any distractions. I am very confident that in a crowd this size, there's someone or maybe many. There's some heartaches. There's some frustrations maybe. There could be some things that could distract them from the preaching of the Word of God. I pray right now that you'd help them cast those thoughts aside. And I pray that you'd help them through the preaching of your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Tribulation, that trial, that tribulation, that heartache, if you will, that distress, that's anything that puts you under insurmountable pressure. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Persecution, seems like when the world is against you. You know, even those that maybe shouldn't be against you, maybe they're persecuting you as well. Famine or nakedness, that's when you feel like you've lost everything. Peril or sword. And I ask you, have you faced any of these particular issues? You ever felt like that, God, do you love me? I know I have. God, are you there? I know I have. You know, I got thinking of Noah when he was on the ark, and of course, 40 days, 40 nights of rain. They'd never seen anything like that before in that particular day, obviously, and God destroyed the earth with a flood and so forth. And I can imagine that as they were just floating around and so forth, there might have been some frustrations. Even though there was only eight of them on there, I could just imagine the frustrations. And when Noah went ahead and wanted to try to find land and so forth, and the bird came back with nothing and so forth, you know, I can imagine maybe there might have been some questions. God, are you there? I can imagine that when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land, and you know all the insurmountable pressure that he went through, and the whining and the complaining, and time again you'd see the children of Israel whining and so forth, and maybe even Moses wondering, God, are you there? And I ask you, church, this morning, you ever been to a place in your life you ask God, are you there? You know, have you ever faced some of these problems? Maybe as you're traveling down the road that God has given you, you're kind of up against a wall, and there it is. There's a problem, and there's a trial, and there's a heartache. Yeah, but the Bible says there's an answer to this, that list in verse number 35. Verse number 37, we find the answer, no, or nay, rather. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, in all these things, I'm talking about the things that are listed there, which pretty much covers everything that we'll ever face here on earth, okay, when you look at it that way as a whole. And you know, in all these things, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You think about that phrase, more than conquerors. You know, you think of a conqueror's already won. I mean, he conquered, he won the battle, if you will, but more than conqueror. It's almost like, you know, it's a super conqueror, if you will. You know, there's that extra few words there, more than conquerors. So this morning, I want to ask you the question, or my title is, how to win over your problems. You know, we all have problems. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, you have problems. It doesn't matter how little you have in the bank, you know, you may look at that as a big problem. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. If you drive a Chevy, you're going to have a problem. Okay? Just seeing if you're awake, okay? But, you know, just seeing if you're awake. If you're a Ford, I don't care, whatever. But it doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, cars eventually have problems. Doesn't matter what make they are.
That's right.
Okay? So anyways, you know, I love it. You know, in my especially in my former church or at Calvary Baptist Church where I worked for 10 years, my home church and different things like that, a group of us men, there were some of us that were Ford people. Good group. You know, that was a smart crowd. That's, you know, this was then, okay? And my preacher and a few others, okay? You don't go against the pastor, but he was a Chevy guy. And, but there was a little friendly rivalry. Anyways, how I got off on that has nothing to do with the message. But problems are going to rise. Every single one of us are going to face problems. When the doctor goes ahead and shakes his head and says there's nothing we can do, that's a problem. When you lose your spouse to death, that's a problem. When you have more month than money, okay, that's a problem. You know, when your kids rebel, that is a problem. When you feel like when your job is on the line, that is a problem. When there's maybe some marital issues, a husband and wife and are fighting and fuming and so forth, that is a problem. And you know what? It doesn't matter who we are. Maybe we faced all of them, and there's many more problems I could go ahead and list. Maybe you faced some of the list there in verse number 35. Distress, famine, nakedness, sword, tribulation, or whatever the case may be. But what I'm trying to say this for a moment, and I'll get to my main points in just a second, but what I'm trying to say here, you know what? You are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Your problems don't have to dominate you. You know, you don't have to go ahead and let your problems win. We are more than conquerors through him. God says it. You know, and I'm just glad to go ahead and bring forth the message this morning. But God's word says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. You know, how to win over your problems. Number one, find out the facts of the problem. You know, how are you going to go ahead and win over these problems? Okay, you're going to have problems, but how do you win over the problems? You need to find out the facts of the problem, number one. You know, the Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I understand that word truth there is talking about Jesus. Okay, that word truth there, you shall know the truth, okay? And the truth will make you free, okay? Boy, when you get to know Jesus as personal Savior, you know what? Let me tell you something. You are free from the bondage of sin, of death and so forth, and hell and so on. But you know, but let me just go ahead and give you a practical application here for just a moment in dealing with our problems, okay? And I'll get to that. The main thought in just a second on that verse. But first of all, how are you going to win over your problems? You got to find out the facts. Get to the heart of the matter. Okay, find out the truth of the matter. You know, why did this happen? Okay, did the problem happen because of sin? Okay, so you know what? We got to look at ourselves in the once in a while. Okay? Did the problem happen because we rebelled against God? Did the problem happen because we broke the law of God, which is sin, by the way? Okay, analyze the problem. Figure out where the problem came from. Why did this happen? Okay, it might be that God is putting some judgment on us, okay? And he is a God that is just, okay? And because of his love, he will go ahead and judge us. Okay, but why did this problem happen? And I ask you a question. I'm preaching mainly to saved people this morning, God's people this morning. Listen to me. Why did the problem happen? Is there some things in your life that you know ought not be in your life? There's some things in your life that the Holy Spirit maybe for a long time has been trying to cut away, and just he got his shearing knife out. Boy, read John chapter 15, talks about spiritual growth of a Christian, and God wants you to go ahead and prepare you for a greater fruitfulness. But there's some things in your life, maybe there's some branches in your life, okay? There might be some dead limbs in your life that ought not be there. And God, maybe for some time, maybe for a long time, has been trying to say, hey, you know, I want all of you. And by the way, he deserves all of us. Amen. He deserves every single fiber of our being. And when we say no, God, when we negotiate with him, so to speak, and when we say no, God, you can't have that, we are rebelling against God. We're not giving him all of our being. The Bible says, you know, how are you going to win over your problems? You know, find the facts. You know, you might have to go ahead and search your heart real deep and say, okay, God, or ask the Lord, what are you trying to show me? Is there some sin in my life, God, that's displeasing to you?
Is there an area of my life that my act needs to be cleaned up? You know, it might be another reason why it may happen again. Get to the facts. Get to the heart of the matter. Get to the heart of the problem. It might be because God's trying to show you something. You know, when I use this illustration often, I know, but when my wife contracted cancer in 2006, as far as I know, you know, and I believe this ever since I've been married, man, my wife is the finest Christian lady in the world. And I, as far as I'm concerned, man, you know, I don't think, you know, to my knowledge, she wasn't living in any deep sin or anything like that. She was godly. She read her Bible. She went to church. She stood behind her preacher husband. She was involved in our ministries. She'd pray. She'd do all the things that I know that we know and understand that a Christian ought to go through. But you know what? My wife will tell you, and as I go ahead and search that very dark period of our life, it was just God trying to show us something. It was just God perhaps causing us to be more sensitive to the needs of others. I've said it time and time again, when you go through a particular area like cancer or even premature death or whatever the case may be in your life, you know what? It causes you to kind of look at that in a different way and feel for others that are going through it. And it might be that God, God's trying to show you something. It might be that God is trying to, could be that God's trying to humble you. You know, even Christians can get wrapped up in pride. You know, the Bible says that the pride shall be brought low in Proverbs. You know, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, and it could be that, I recall in Daniel chapter 4, I think it is, when Nebuchadnezzar got so proud that he wound up in a pasture eating the grass. God was humbling him. And what I'm trying to say here this morning, it could be this morning that God is trying to humble you. It could be that maybe somewhere along the way, you know, in your Christian life, yeah, you're reading your Bible, you're going to church, you're doing the things that are right, but somewhere along the way, you've got a bit of pride. Somewhere along the way, you got on your little high horse, so to speak, and God, you might be becoming more of a know-it-all and saying, God, you know, I know better than this, and I know better than God in this, or whatever the case, be very careful of that. God's not going to deal with that. And it could very well be that God's trying to humble you. You know, it could be that, you know, not only maybe is there some known sin, but maybe the sin of pride. And it could be, as I alluded to a moment ago, could be that God's trying to show you something. You know, find out the facts. You know, many people fail to find out the facts of their problems, and they live with suspicion and speculation. They live with, why did this happen? Or if you're not careful, listen to me, if you're not careful, you'll start blaming others. This happened because of. No. Find out the facts. You know, this happened because of my wife. This happened because of my husband. This happened because of my children. This happened because of God. Okay, maybe God did put you there. But don't you ever put God on trial. And you ought not put your wife on trial. You know what? It could just very well be that you put yourself in that kind of problem, the problem. And maybe someone or something had a part in it, whatever the case may be. But you know, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But you shouldn't be holding that against them. You know, how do we win over our problems, okay? Find out the facts of the problem. Get to the heart of the matter. You know, the truth, okay? The truth of the matter will take the guesswork out of your problem. It'll set you free, so to speak, and it'll help you solve the problem. You know, how do you go ahead and find out the facts? You know, the truth shall make you free. Who's the truth? As I said a moment ago, it's Jesus. You know, when you're in the midst of that problem, you need to draw to God. You need to go to Him and say, okay, God, you teach me from this particular lesson. You teach me. You show me. I think of Job, who went through it. You know, he didn't deserve it. He was a godly man. He eschewed evil. He had an impeccable testimony, if you will, in Job chapter 1. But God chose him to go ahead in a 24-hour period, basically to lose everything. And you know what? And through it all, and boy, there's a lesson there. Through it all, he charged not God foolishly. Through it all, he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he didn't go ahead and shake his fist at God. He didn't go ahead and charge God foolishly. And what you need to do before, don't charge God foolishly. You need to get to the heart of the matter and you need to draw to God. What did Job do? He drew the Lord. He got closer to God. He says there, that he held on to his steps. You know, he didn't go ahead and decline from the way that God had for him. And I wish I could turn to that. I preached on it the other night, and I'm sorry, but there in the middle of Job, you know, he held on to his steps. He esteemed, the Bible says he esteemed the words of his mouth, meaning the Bible, more than his necessary food. What he's saying, he says, even in the midst of my trial, even when trials and problems, and I was in the heat of the battle, you know, I just stayed close to God. And church, that's what we need to do. But you need to find out the facts, and you need to draw yourself closer to the truth. And the Bible says the truth, Jesus will set you free. Number two, you know, face them fearlessly. How do you go ahead and win over your problems? Number one, find out the facts of the problem. Number two, face them fearlessly. You know, look at the situation square in the eye. The Bible says back in Isaiah chapter 41, the scripture says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I love this. I have fled to this particular verse many, many times just in recent months and so forth. But in verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 41, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I love that. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Boy, that's a verse you ought to take heart. You know, and that's a verse that tells me that, you know, here's your problem. You need to face it fearlessly. You know, and by the way, you're not going through it by yourself. God's with you. You're not going through your issue, if you will, by yourself. The Holy Spirit of God is with you. You need to face him. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Listen, that's a promise. Church, that's a promise. Fear thou not. You got that bad doctor's report? God says, fear thou not. Is there more month than money? God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. In other words, don't fear. Don't get scared. Don't get shook up. I am with thee. Listen to me, Christian. You know what? He is with you. You lost your spouse. Fear thou not. I'm with thee. You know, I don't have enough food in my cupboard, and I don't know where the meals are going to come for this particular week. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. My car doesn't run very well. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And on and on and on we can go and look at them problems. But you know how you're going to go ahead and win over your problems? Face them fearlessly. You look at the situation with God, okay? Look at the situation through the eyes of God and look at it square in the eye. On many occasions, God would admonish his people not to be afraid. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, think about the God, the very God that breathed this world into existence. Think about the very God that gave us our beating heart, if you will. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, maybe you're facing some problems, but what you need to do, you need to face them fearlessly. You need to look at the situation straight in the eye. You know, I think of Jesus going to the cross. That's quite a problem. Think about it. But he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He knew he was here for the cause of his Father. And you know, even in the garden, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. You know what? He looked at his problem square in the eye with God. You know, I think of Abraham and Isaac. You know, God goes ahead and calls on Abraham, and Abraham in obedience goes ahead and obeys God by taking his son Isaac, his only son Isaac, by the way, picture of Jesus Christ now, but his only son Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and Isaac was going to go ahead and sacrifice him. Problem. It's quite a problem. Couldn't imagine somebody coming to me saying, you know what, Sean, take your son and go to some mountain somewhere. I couldn't imagine that. But Abraham in obedience, problem. But God saw him through the problem. You know, I think of Moses in the Red Sea, problem. You know, his first major battle, here he is. He finally goes ahead. Pharaoh lets loose of the children of Israel after several times going, let my people go, let my people go. Finally, Pharaoh says, go ahead and take them, get out of here and so forth. And, of course, they get on the road, so they get on their journey. Their first major battle. Here's millions of children of Israel. Here's the man of God, Moses, with his staff and so forth. Their first major battle, they come to the Red Sea. Uh-oh. They got to get from here across. Huh. And guess who's behind him? Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh hardened his heart once they left, and he got his army all together, and they were coming in behind. Here they were being sandwiched. between the Red Sea and the enemy. Problem, but God saw them through it. Think of Joshua in the city of Jericho. First major battle that for him. He had to go ahead, you know, if he was going to go ahead and get to where God wanted him, he had to go through the thick walls of Jericho. Problem, but God went ahead and saw them through it. Remember cancer, and I alluded to it a moment ago. Now, I remember cancer and so forth in our family. Problem, but God saw us through it. What I'm trying to say, you know, the God that saw Moses through it, the God that saw Joshua through it, the God that saw Paul shipwrecked. Problem, but every step of the way, God saw him through it. I preached Sunday night on Paul when he went ahead, and of course they were shipwrecked on the island of Melita and so forth. He went and, as a servant, you know, amazing story, but went and fetched the wood to start a fire. He went to place the wood and a venomous snake came out. Problem. He shook that snake off and he was healed. He didn't blow it up and die. God saw him through it. You know what you need to do? You need to face the problem fearlessly. You need to look at it square in the eye when the old devil says, oh, you can't make it. You know, when even people may say, you can't go ahead and make it. I remember when I started my bus route in Livermore Falls and so forth, and some good people, even good people, Livermore Falls, Maine and so forth, March 2001. Boy, my heart was there. I was so excited to start this new bus route and so forth. And even good people, sometimes God will bring good people along the way that even love you and say, well, Pastor Weeks, let me just tell you, I know these parts pretty well. You know, I don't think you're going to go ahead and build a bus route up there in Livermore Falls. You know, and all that did was fuel my fire, buddy. You know what? And sometimes you even have good people might be a little bit problematic, so to speak. I said, just keep, you know, to myself, just keep fueling my fire. I got my workers together. And I remember we started with a minivan, by the way. We started with a minivan. Okay, the first week I packed that minivan out. I'm not going to tell you how many. The second week I had to go ahead and meet the next closest route and bring one minivan full to go ahead and put them on that bus and then go back and get another load to get the second load to church. Third week my pastor got up on Sunday night, said, church, I just want you to know Brother Weeks caused a problem. You know, meaning, okay, you know, you got to understand my preacher, but he says he caused a problem. He said, boy, you know, he's been praying for this bus route. He started this bus route 2 weeks ago. We need a bus. What I'm trying to say, God went ahead and supplied the bus. You know, God went ahead and supplied it, and we needed to buy another bus and so forth. And the next week, within that week, the money came in. God went ahead and solved the problem. Praise the Lord. And we ran that bus route, and we'd have high days of 70 or 80 on that bus and different things. God certainly blessed, and it's still running today. Thank God for that. But what I'm trying to say, you know what? You need to face it fearlessly. Even people get in the way. Even good people may say, I don't know if it can be done. No, you need to stand up in faith and say, you know what? I'm going to face it fearlessly. You know, the old devil, go ahead and whisper in your ear, say, you know, serving the Lord isn't all that great. Look at all the problems that you have. You need to just get up and look at it square in the eye and look at the situation through God's eyes, and you need to go ahead and face it fearlessly. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to go mountain climbing. And the name of the mountain, several mountains in the mid Maine region and so forth, they had Mount Blue and Mount Tumbledown. We would often, as a family, go ahead and even as church groups, different things, climb Mount Tumbledown. Mount Tumbledown was about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles up and so forth. And as you get halfway up, the trail goes ahead, a little beyond halfway, the trail goes ahead and veers off. One trail is the easy trail. One trail, okay, as a teenager, I would go ahead and say, that was the sissy trail. Come on now. That was the trail. That was easy and so forth. If that's your trail, great. But listen to me. But as a teenager, I was not taking that trail. Because I knew if I went ahead and took that trail, you know, my brothers would go ahead and call me sissy. Oh, come on, you can't handle this trail, because the other trail had some cliff rocks to it. It was pretty steep, and there was stakes, if you will, in the rocks, and you had to, you know, it was a little bit steeper. Wasn't such that you needed to have special ropes and stuff like that, but it was a little more difficult. I got thinking about that a little bit. You know, sometimes in life, sometimes in our life and in the journey that God gives us, the race that God gives us to run, you know what? We don't always have, if you will, that other trail. We don't always have the easy trail, if you will, the easy way out. Oftentimes, it's just one trail. Oftentimes, it's a tough trail. You know, and the truth of the matter is, if I was going to go ahead and get to that mountain, okay, again, I wasn't going to take the easy trail, but just imagine for a moment, the only way was to go ahead to the mountaintop was that cliff trail right there. And the truth is, listen to me, if I was going to go ahead and get to that mountaintop, I was going to have to go ahead and go through some rocks, go through some boulders, you know, maybe even as I'm climbing, slip a little bit, hold on and keep on climbing a little bit. If I was going to get to the top, if I was going to reach victory, I had to take the hand, if you will. I had to take the trail that God gave me and trust him along the way. Listen to me, your Christian life, let me tell you something, doesn't necessarily, is not always going to be the easy trail, so to speak. You're going to have the cliffs, you're going to have the boulders, and what you need to do, you need to go ahead and face them cliffs, you need to face that boulder. I don't want to stay halfway up the mountain, I want to get to the top. That's where the beautiful scenery is, that's where you're going to be able to look and see the ponds and the lakes and the foliage and different things. I want to get to the trail, I want to go ahead and win, I want to get to the mountaintop. But if I'm going to get there, there's going to be some rocky paths along the way. There's going to be that cliff along the way. And what you need to do, I could sit there and say, oh, I can't go ahead and do it. No. And just run down the mountain and not have any success at all. Or I could just go ahead and say, you know, I'm facing that cliff fearlessly. You know what? You need to look at the problems that you face, and you need to face them fearlessly and look at them through the eyes of the Lord. You know, most of the time we worry about things that never happen. Think about that for a moment. You know, and we just need to trust God. Listen to me. You need to trust God for the results. Again, I gave you Israel. I gave you some illustrations there of Moses and so forth. And the same God that was with Moses is the very same God that's with you. Think about that. God is not a respecter of persons, my friend. And he's not going to go ahead and look at your situation and say, well, you know what? You know, you're right. It's just too tough. No, you know what? He will give you the spirit. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the know-how. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you everything that you need to go ahead and climb that mountain. Face them fearlessly. Number three, how do we go ahead and win over our problems? Number three, forgive others freely. In other words, forgive others. The Bible says in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You need to forgive others freely. Some people fail to solve their problems because they won't forgive. They just won't forgive. You know, there might be some here this morning. You know what? You might be in some problems simply because, listen, you're holding on to some resentment towards somebody else. Might be a relative. It might be a co-worker. It might be a church member. In 15, 16 years of full-time ministry, I've seen a lot in church. I mean, you know, and you follow up on people, and sometimes, listen, this is no joke, and I don't know of that here, okay? But I've been around long enough, and you follow up on people who's out of church. And man, I just want you to know I miss you in church. I'm not going to go to that church until so-and-so member apologizes or whatever, this and that. And I got thinking, that's pretty shallow Christianity. We'll go ahead, listen to me, we'll go ahead and we'll disobey God. The Bible says not forsake the assembling ourselves together. And we'll go ahead and let whatever the problem is, whatever the issue is, affect us from being what God wants us to be because of somebody. You know what, why don't you be the big person and go and say, you know, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Well, they didn't, I didn't do, no. But just you be the big person. Why don't you be the big person, set up a meeting, and why don't you decide, you know what, we're going to sit down, we're going to hash this thing out, and you're not going to leave till it is hashed out. Amen. I wonder, and I don't know again, honestly, I do not know, but I wonder if there's someone not in church this morning because of, you resent them for some reason. Don't tell me that doesn't, it does happen. Believe me, it happens. I wonder if there's some division in your family and whatever, simply because you're not willing to go ahead and forgive. You're clinging on to past resentments. You're holding on to issues that won't matter 5 minutes after the rapture. You know, somewhere along the way, you just got to, in all due respect, and I say it with all pastoral love, you got to let it go. You know, look at the big picture. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Think about it for just a moment. Is it really, really worth it at the end of the day? I think not. I don't think it is. I don't think it's worth, you go down Walmart, and if you're in Walmart and this happened to you, I have no clue, okay? But you go down the aisle at Walmart, and there goes, there's that person that you resent. And boy, you know what? You'll turn around, and you'll go around the whole perimeter of Walmart just to not see them. And if that happened to you this week, I have no clue that it happened to you, okay? All right, I'd have no clue if you were in Walmart this week and you saw somebody and you did everything you could to dodge them. I have no idea, but listen to me. But you know what I'm talking about. You get the picture. You know what? We need to forgive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, that might be one reason why you've got a whole heap of problems in your life simply because you're not willing to forgive somebody. There's somebody, and you know what, and it's festering you, and it bothers you, and so forth, and it probably bothers you more than it bothers them. Hey, you know what, listen. How to win over your problems. Forgive others freely. You know, sometimes it's, I really don't like it if I know there's a problem with someone. You know, I like to just deal with it head on and get it, just take care of it. I really do. You know, and if we can leave friends shaking hands, that's my goal, always goal. But there's a little bit of friction after. At least I know I tried. Okay, at least I did everything I could to at least try. I mean, I did what I believe was scripturally, and I went to that person who offended me or whatever. If I offended them, you know, I remember years ago, and I don't want to get bogged down with my illustrations, but I remember years ago, I had one of my best friends. I just made a comment, you know, and just a silly little comment. We had this kind of relationship that we could just kind of joke back and forth and so forth. If you know me, that's what I like to do. But sometimes you can go overboard. And I went overboard, and I didn't see him in church for a couple weeks. I mean, I couldn't even get a hold of him and so forth. I remember it was back in the days. You remember the big flip phones? The cell phone? They weren't like the little things like this. You remember? I mean, back in the 90s cell phone. I had a 90s cell phone. It happened in the 90s. And tried to call him. You know, I just remember carrying that thing. It weighted down one side, you know, anyways. But I tried to call him and say, man, I miss you in church. Where you been? Left messages and so forth. He was ignoring me. Finally, I called his wife. She goes ahead and Sean, you said some words to him that just really hurt him and offended him. That's why he's just kind of dodged you for a while. I said, would you just tell him to stay put? I'm on my way over. Because you know what? That bothered me. Until I could go, I just cleared everything. I said, I'm on my way over. Tell him, don't leave. Don't even tell him I'm coming because he'll leave. I got there. I sat down with him. I said, listen, man, I offended you and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And we talked a little bit, and before long, we were joking back and forth while I'm saying he forgave me. But sometimes, listen to me, and I know that's just a personal illustration, but you might have the same illustration in your life. And maybe you're not willing to forgive. Why don't you go ahead and do whatever you have to do to try to solve the issue between one another? And then number four, the last. How do you go ahead and win over your problems? Fortify your faith. In other words, strengthen, increase your faith. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. You know, many Christians don't have victory over their problems simply because they lack faith. You've allowed, listen to me, they've allowed that issue, that problem, to cause their faith to rattle. They've allowed that whatever it is, okay, to decrease their faith. Maybe getting their eyes on something or someone else for help other than God. And what you need to do, just as I said a few moments ago, you need to go ahead and look at that problem fearlessly, look it square in the eye, and allow it to increase your faith. You know, fortify your faith. Faith is important. The apostles realized their need of more faith. They prayed in Luke chapter 17, 5, Lord, increase our faith. You know what, church? That's what we need to be doing. And let me just stop and say this. You may be here today, and you could be on the mountaintop. But let me tell you something. You didn't get on that mountaintop just like that. You know what? You faced some battles probably to get to that victory. You know what battles they were. But let me tell, just stop and say this. As much as we like to stay on the mountaintop 100% of the time, you know, can I just stop and say this? There's going to be another valley. You know what? And sometimes the life is just is going to be like that. Until Jesus comes, it's going to be like that. And what you need to do, church, instead of, man, I'm on the mountaintop, I can't even stay on the mountaintop for 2 days before another valley comes. You know what you need to do? You need to be doing what the apostles did and praying out, say, Lord, increase my faith. God, you give me the faith that I need to go ahead and get through, yes, another valley. Yes, another death. Yes, another financial setback. Yes, whatever. Whatever it is. And what you need to do is you need to fortify your faith. You know, that word faith simply means to depend on God. And the Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you realize that our lack of faith, through the trials and through our journey of life, our lack of faith, according to God's word, it displeases the Lord. So what you need to do as the apostles, as I said a moment ago, Lord, increase our faith. Yes, the battle is going to come. You might be right now on the mountaintop, and I don't want to go ahead and throw water on your mountaintop experience right now. Believe me, I don't want to do that. I want to rejoice with you. But let's look at it in reality for just a moment. There'll be another battle coming. Unfortunately. I wish I could say that it would always be mountaintop from here on out. But it doesn't happen that way. And listen to me. You know what you need to do, child of God? And if you don't, you're going to wind up backsliding. You're going to wind up out of church. You're going to wind up in places that you never thought. You just need to keep increasing your faith as you journey this path that God has given you. Lord, increase my faith. How do you go ahead and win over your problems? Find out the facts first. Get to the heart of the problem. You know, start. No, don't blame. No. Just get to the heart of the problem, and you draw close to the truth. You draw close to Jesus, and the truth will make you free. How do you go ahead and win over your problems? Face them fearlessly. You know what? Understand there's some cliffs in life and so forth. There's cliffs in this. You know what? And if you're going to go ahead and get to the mountaintop, you got to face that fearlessly. Don't you turn back. Don't you turn tail and run. Don't you go ahead and quit on God. Because I know on the mountaintop, that's where I'm going to see the beautiful scenery. And I don't want to be known as a quitter. I'm going to face my problems fearlessly. Forgive others and fortify your faith. I don't know about you. No doubt. I know there's some problems in here this morning. I don't know every single detail. I know that Donna, she just lost her daddy. That's a problem. I know 6 months ago this Friday, Brother Joe reminded me, he lost his dear wife. That's a problem. And, you know, on and on. I know other heartaches and issues and different things and, you know, deal with things I deal with and so forth, problems. The distresses, as the scripture says. The tribulations, and in all these things, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Listen, you don't have to let the problem defeat you. You don't have to let the problem cause you to quit. You don't have to let the problem go ahead and dominate your whole life that you can't even think straight and become a lack of a producer, if you will. You don't have to do that. What you need to do is you just need to understand you are more than conquerors through Him. You face them facts. You forgive. You face the problem fearlessly and just let God strengthen your faith. Lord, increase our faith. Maybe you're here today. Maybe your faith is very limited. Maybe you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe here today you say, preacher, you know, I understand clearly what you preached about this morning, but you know what? I've got a bigger problem than that. Is the fact that I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Let me just stop and say this. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we can know for sure if we were to die today, we'd go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You may be sitting here today and say, "Pastor, I understand the problems in life and what I need to do, but my biggest problem is the fact I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven." And God says, God's word says that you can know for sure. You can know it. You don't have to sit here and say, "I think, I guess, perhaps I'm going." No, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not the church, not the pastor. I can give you the message of the gospel, but I cannot save you. I can give you the message from the word of God that saves you, but I cannot save you. There's not one clergy that can save you. There's not one church that can save you. There's not one baptism cannot save you. It's only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." God the Father is in heaven creating a beautiful place called heaven. Streets of gold. We've heard what the Bible terms it. Streets of gold, walls of jasper. Jesus is going to be there. It's a beautiful place, more than we could ever imagine. The Bible says in John 14, verse number 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house," talk about heaven, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," talking about heaven, "I will also come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. What I'm saying this morning, you can know for sure. Maybe the biggest problem you're facing right now is the fact you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And we've established in 1 John 5:13, God's word says you can know that you have eternal life. Amen. But you got to understand, you're a sinner. We've all sinned. This preacher, yeah, "For all have sinned," the Bible says, Romans 3:23, "and come short of the glory of God." The wages of sin, and we've got to understand we're all sinners. There's a price on sin. The wages of our sin, the payment of our sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? It might be you're facing some financial problems, some other heartaches and so forth, but the biggest problem here today, friend, could be the fact that you don't know Jesus as Savior. And he wants to save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise. Whosoever is anybody, by the way. It's not selective. You, but not you. No, no, no. God doesn't do that. For whosoever, that's anybody. Look it up in the dictionary. Anybody. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It might be you're here today and the biggest problem you face is the fact you don't know Jesus as Savior. And if that is you today, we would love the opportunity to not show you a Baptist way, though we're Baptist, but not to show you a Baptist way, but we would love to show you from God's word, God's way, how you could know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven. If that's you, I would urge you just a little while, you just come to me and talk to me, and I'd be more than delighted to sit down with you and show you from God's word how you can know that you have eternal life. I was in Bible college September 12th, 1996. 26 years old I was. I was in Bible college. I grew up in a good Christian home. Went to church every Sunday. Went to a good church. Bible preaching church every Sunday. I heard the gospel. Thought I made the decision as a kid. But it was not until I got to college September 12th, 1996, 26 years old. It's amazing. That was just a couple years ago. You laugh. It was just a couple. It was quite a 1996, quite a while ago. But anyways, but you know, God got, you know, I was sitting in a chapel message at Hiles Ernston College, and God got a hold of my heart and said, "Sean, you need to deal with your salvation." And I, along with other men at Bible college, I went forward at the altar. And I went to the preacher and said, "You know, I need to settle my salvation." And I went ahead and I realized I was a sinner. I realized there's a price on sin. I realized that Jesus, I understood it. Jesus, he paid the price on the cross for my sin. And all I had to do was simply call upon him and ask him to come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sin. And he promises he'll do that. And from that day till now, until I go to heaven, I know and I know and I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven simply because of what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, if you're here today, and the biggest problem that you're facing is the fact that you don't know Jesus, we ought to settle that today. We would be delighted we would be excited and thrilled to go ahead and sit down with you and show you from the scriptures how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. But maybe you're here today, you're saved, and you say, Pastor, yeah, I got some problems. Just seems like, man, I just keep going forward. I make 3 steps forward, I take 4 steps back. I just can't seem to get ahead. What you need to do is find out the facts. You face them fearlessly. Forgive others, because that could be some of the source of the problem. There's some people that you're ill against in your life. You ought to maybe be the big man, the big Christian, settle that, fix it. And then fortify, strengthen your faith. Lord, increase my faith. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for this particular message. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you hear today, say, Pastor, I'm one of them ones. I understand the problems of life, the financial and illness and health, different things like that. I understand them problems. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord caused me to realize the biggest problem I have is I do not know 100%.